In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The prophet Samuel anointed a young shepherd in Bethlehem to be king over Israel. The oil flowed from the horn over David's head and streamed down his garments. David was the Lord's anointed. In Hebrew, the word is Messiah. In Greek, it is Christ, small m, small c, of course. For the word Messiah and Christ simply mean the anointed. From that time on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. The shadows must give way to the reality. So Jesus had come to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to prevent him. He did not fully understand. He knew who Jesus was, the Holy Son of God, and yet the Holy Son of God does not need a baptism of repentance and cleansing. But the scriptures find their reality in Christ. So it is necessary to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John permitted him. The new and better Samuel stands witness to a new and better anointed one, as the Holy Spirit descends like a dove and rests on him. He's anointed not with Jordan water, but with the Holy Spirit. And John did not anoint him, but the Father put his Spirit upon him, ordaining him as the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. It's visible, it's concrete, for the shadows must give way to what can be seen. The scriptures must find their fulfillment in the reality, Jesus Christ. John knew he was the perfect Son of God, but now he sees Jesus as the Lamb of God who bears the sins of the world. I would not have known him, John confesses, except the one who sent me to baptize with water said, "The man on whom the Spirit descends and remains, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So John baptized with water so the Christ might be revealed. So yes, it is necessary for Jesus to be revealed to the world as the Messiah. Water and the Spirit reveal God's Lamb marked for slaughter. The time had fully come. God had sent his Son, and there in the Jordan water, he is revealed to all as the Messiah who will take away the sins of the world. So John continued his spiritless baptism, but he also lifted his dripping finger to point to the Lamb who will bear the world's sins. He must increase while John decreases, for he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But first he must carry out the work of winning salvation for mankind. So he healed the blind, the deaf, and the mute. He raised the dead, he drove out demons, and preached good news to the poor. Yet he still remained the Lamb marked for slaughter, bearing the sins of the world. The temple sacrifices were shadows. They were oblivious shadows, clueless animals. But this Lamb is filled with wisdom and knowledge from on high. He knows it is necessary to be marked as the Christ. Willingly he goes. He loves you. He loves the whole world. Willingly water flowed over him, covered his head, and streamed down his flesh. Willingly he extended his arms and opened his hand so that your name might be engraved in his palm with an iron nail. Willingly he bows his head and gives up his spirit. For what he was anointed to do, he has accomplished. The eternal Son of God, one with the Father and the Spirit, has taken away the sins of the world. And yet he still remains the Christ, for he was installed into an eternal office by the anointing of the Spirit to win salvation and then also to pour out that salvation in holy baptism. His holy body touched that Jordan water, and he was not cleansed from any sin, but water itself was cleansed and set apart for something greater. When united to the Word, you are washed clean. There is no greater use for water than holy baptism. Here it achieves its ultimate purpose. So this is the fulfillment of the flood, where only 8 souls were saved and all wickedness was drowned. This water is the fulfillment of the parted Red Sea, where Israel is saved and all his enemies destroyed. This is the fulfillment of the Jordan River, where Israel passed through on dry ground into that promised land. For through this same saving bath, you have entered the promised land of heaven. All wickedness was drowned and destroyed. Your sinful flesh was ripped off by these blessed waters, and you were buried with the anointed Christ in his death, and yet raised with him through the same. Your enemies were destroyed, and you were saved, set free, made clean, and given a new and eternal life, for this baptismal water is unlike any other water. It's unlike the flood, the Red Sea, or even the Jordan River. For this baptismal water is filled with the Holy Spirit and stuffed with the blessings God has won. For the Spirit takes what Christ has won and he pours it out on you. Do you see the importance of your baptism, not just a past event, but the present reality of what you are? You were born in sin, conceived in sin. This sinful flesh permeates everything you are and everything you do, corrupting and ruining it all. It shows itself in apathy, laziness, arrogance, pride, anger, discontentment, and disrespect, just to name a few. Even if you're not as bad as other people, not one of you will admit that you are perfect. So why would God let imperfect people into his perfect heaven? And yet all of that was taken by Christ. All of that clung to Christ, even your sinful flesh, as he was washed in that Jordan River. And yet his holiness, his perfection, his righteousness clings to you, since you have been washed in the baptismal font. More than that, Christ himself clings to you, for he hides the shame of your sinful flesh. No longer can that sinful flesh burden you, for it has been drowned. No longer can your own heart condemn you, for God is greater than your heart. No longer can the old Adam, original sin, inherited sin, the old self, call it whatever you want, but no longer can it have you, for you are saved because you are baptized. Like Christ, you too were anointed in holy baptism, not with oil or water, but you have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. You did not see him descend like a dove and rest on you. You did not see heaven open. You saw only water. And yet you were not baptized with the baptism of John, were you? But with the baptism Christ himself instituted. He is the one who has baptized you, for only he can pour out his Holy Spirit upon you. At the Jordan, he was anointed with that Spirit, so that through this bath you might be filled with the Spirit. At the Jordan, he was revealed as the Christ, so that in the font you might be made Christians, which simply means little Christs, little Messiahs, little anointed ones. For you are not washed with John's water, but with the Spirit-filled water by him who is one with the Spirit, so that being justified by his grace, you might be heirs with Christ and have the hope of eternal life. As the Holy Spirit remained on Christ after his baptism, so he remains on you. Your body is his temple. And not just one muscle inside of you, but your entire body is the Holy Spirit's dwelling place, as he permeates every aspect of what you are. Do not doubt this. Are you baptized? then you are his temple. But do not take this for granted either. For the old Adam, the sinful flesh, original sin, inherited sin, the old self, again, call it whatever you want, but it's a good swimmer. Daily it rises up, trying to pull you away from Christ and into sin. You are saved from it, but you are not yet fully free from it. You still must battle it. It's a mighty adversary, and if you try to fight on your own, you will fail. But the Spirit never fails. The Spirit continues to testify to you through his word that you are his anointed children. You have been anointed for eternal life. For the Lamb of God has been marked by his baptismal water, the Christ set for slaughter, so that through his death, he might be able to pour out the Holy Spirit upon you and anoint you as his sons and daughters forever through holy baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.